Well, simultaneously, we started a group that was specifically an environmental group called Rising Tide North Texas.
Okay.
And so I was involved in Rising Tide North Texas with several of these. You know, there's a lot of overlap, college organizing, like whatever. But Rising Tide North Texas, all this is also, you know, there's articles, there's pictures of it. One time, Rising Tide North Texas organized a big march outside of Range Resources. In 2011, I believe. So this is all happening at the same time, you know. We organized a big march outside of Range Resources in Fort Worth, and we couldn't believe it. We felt so successful. I can't believe it still, because I've been to so many protests since with a different outcome. But Range Resources actually sent their employees home for the day, and they locked the doors, and they shut it down, which I can't believe. After that, one of my friends and roommates, whose name was Ben, you know, we like to be leaderless movements, but someone would say one of the people that was leading the protest, you know, on the megaphone and stuff like that. He's also a military veteran, which feels relevant. We found out, and I don't know if Adam Briggle shared this with you or not, but he started getting calls from the FBI.
I heard about that, and I think I got a visit from the FBI.
So at that time, he was in one of Adam's philosophy classes, right? So again, because it all relates, you know, just to put it in perspective, this is like college kids having little protests outside of fracking, and from the beginning, way before, 3 years before, there's even a ban on most people's radars. We're organizing for that. We're getting surveilled by the FBI. You know, the FBI came to UNT and talked to Adam Briggle specifically about his student Ben. You know,
he talks about that in his book, and the term comes up in the book about the FBI warning or advising that they just want to make sure that everybody's playing nice in the sandbox and not colluding with international interests or radical environmentalists and such as that. So Dr. Briggle does mention that in the book.
Right.
So that was around that time then.
I feel this is just an aside. Well, maybe I shouldn't even say that. I don't know. You know, I don't know. We can revisit that. So it's that. It's like, it's so easy, actually. It's a lesson I've learned a lot in Texas. When you go up against oil and gas, even if it is like, oh, the fracking ban, was that effective? Are we even, you can really rattle them with such little organizing, with just little standing up and a little bit of willingness to fight back. And they really, you know, they really react.
Yeah, they, it seemed like they put a lot of effort against the ban. As time went by, that stepped up pretty dramatically in the spring of 2014, it looks like. So the apparatus was already in place. You had an issue. All of this started long before 2014.
It absolutely did. And then a lot of things happened simultaneously next. So simultaneously, what the council does acknowledge is that we actually need an ordinance in place that regulates fracking, because we don't really have one. Because again, it's a new technology, we don't really have one. So they need to make a new ordinance to actually address fracking regulations.
What was your thoughts on that as far as regulation? Are we in the
mindset? We were already in the place of no regulations is acceptable, we need a fracking ban.
Okay.
But of course, you know, who listens to college kids? Honestly. So they created I have to remember what it was called. Give me one second. A task force. They create the Gaswell Task Force. And on it is Vicky Oppenheim, who's good. She's concerned about the impacts of fracking in a real way. A professor from UNT named Todd something, I'd have to relook up his name, but it's easy to know because these were very public meetings. I might be misspeaking about him. I want to say his background was like he was a geography professor or something like that. And then, but I would double check that. And then Ed Ireland, who amongst me and my friends, we would call him Lord Voldemort. You know, this evil, evil guy. Because it's not just that he's pro-fracking. It's that he actually runs the propaganda, the Barnett Shell Education and Environment Council or whatever. And they do things like make coloring books about fracking and like hand out things to children and stuff like that about how it's good. And, you know, when you read his resume, it says that he's worked in places like Nigeria. And it's just like, you just know. And he looks evil. You just know by looking at him, like, oh, you're evil. So from the get, it felt like stacked. And it's like, well, and I think the main thing that stands out about him with the other two people is that he didn't live in Denton. These other two people are people that live in our community that are trying to figure out what are the appropriate fracking regulations. This man didn't live in Denton, so it's like, well, why is he on the task force? You know, like, why do we, and that's what they'd say, well, he has the expertise about fracking and whether it's dangerous or not and all this stuff. So we were already feeling really like, this is stacked against us. And they, so simultaneously, that's when, the council member, Kevin Roden, I believe, approached Adam Briggle, I think they were already buddies, about creating a citizens council or whatever you want to say, to give input alongside, even though that council didn't have any official power, that it would be taking regular people's recommendations. And that is what became the Denton Drilling Awareness Group, or DAG, as people called it. That's how that got created.